lost track. I don't remember where we're at now. Open. Let's go to the real sermon. The book of Philippians chapter 3. The book of Philippians chapter 3. Pastor Braden got up to sing and or before he sang, he quoted Philippians 3. I thought sure he's going to steal my verse. But he didn't. He went earlier in the chapter. We're going to look at Philippians chapter 3 and jump down through verse number 20. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 20. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21 is where we're going to focus. Who shall change our vile body? I wonder if Joel Osteen preaches that verse. Who shall change our vile body? You understand your body is vile? That's a pretty strong word, isn't it? Watching the fluids come out of my body today into little bags hanging there, the plasma in one and the saline, and I don't know what, it's separating the red from the yuck. And all that, and I look at that yuck color, and I don't know what that was in there, but they put it pumped back into me after they were done. I thought, I don't want that. But apparently I need it to live. We have a vile body. That's all there is to it. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body? Boy, what a change. What a trade. A vile body for a glorious body. You can't get a better deal than that. Fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, it is good to be in church on Wednesday night. Lord, it is refreshing. God, it is comfortable. Lord, it is a blessing. And so, Father, we're so glad to be here this evening for all that we've already heard and seen and experienced together. And Father, now it's time to delve into Your Word and to be fed by it and challenged by it. And I pray, God, You'd use Your Word to speak to our hearts. Lord, we're a body of believers that have gathered here this evening, Father, that want to be pleasing in Your sight. And yet, Lord, we're constrained by this vile body that now we are encompassed in. So, God, give us some cheer, give us some hope this evening as we look at the glorious body that's to come. And, Father, just comfort our hearts in a way that only You can. Give us encouragement tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't go into Christian bookstores, but I used to. Now, I don't now because you can get everything online you need to get. You don't need to go into a bookstore. Now, I'm thankful for the Bible Mobile that comes around every once in a while, Brother Easterling. And, again, we recommend there. But there's so much junk in Christian bookstores. There has been for a long, long time, for decades. One thing that I'm not crazy about, and there's nothing, and please take this with a grain of salt, this is just a personal thing, I don't like, is those little books that have a Bible verse for every trial in your life. And it says, you know, when you're depressed, read this. When you're experiencing anxiety, read this. When you're hungry for pizza, read this. Now, I know they don't go that far, but you know what I mean. If you've seen that book, so they have a Bible verse, and some of those things get pretty strained out, you know, and ridiculous. I'm not about those. Now, the problem is not the Bible, because obviously it's there, but the problem is a little cheat sheet to tell you where to look when you have those things. I found it's much better to read your Bible every day. And whatever you're going through, God has a supernatural way of giving what you needed when you weren't looking for something specific. I have found over and over again in my Bible reading every day, I read something that hits me right between the eyes. It is exactly what I needed for that day. I didn't have to go to a little manual or something like that to get it. I went straight to the Word of God. So you understand what I'm saying. Those books are not necessarily bad. But I just think the power of the Word of God in reading it daily is much more powerful than spending $8.99 at the Christian bookstore to get a little cheat sheet, if we can call it that. Now, having said that, I want to give you a verse tonight that'll help you when you need it. We are all, and I'm thinking about our congregation this evening and outside of some of you, we are all getting to the point in our life where our bodies are falling apart. And it's not easy to handle. It's not easy to not be able to do the things we used to do. Who was I talking to? Randy, you were. This goes back to our conversation either yesterday or today, talking about working at the place where he works and going out at Costco, I think it is, going out into the parking lot and outworking the 20-year-olds that are out there and showing them how work is supposed to be done and what effort's supposed to look like when you go into it and not lackadaisical and all that kind of stuff. But he can go out there and outwork them. But the next day, he's feeling his age. Now, Randy, you're not 40 yet. You are 40. 9 more months. Okay, 9 more months. My kids, Christina, my oldest. Now, well, you know, when the kids are young, you have accidents. Christina was riding in the back of our pickup truck. This was over in Micronesia, and roads are different there, and even the pickup trucks are made in Japan and shipped over there different. The driving, the steering wheel's on the wrong side as far as we're concerned, all that kind of stuff. And they have this metal roll bar on the back of them. It's a little Toyota pickup truck, but it's got a roll bar. She's riding in the back of it. I wasn't there at the time. She was riding with some other people. But she was standing in the back of that pickup, 7 or 8 years old, standing in the back of that pickup, riding along as kids out there in Micronesia do all the time. But the truck hit a very deep hole. And when it did, it banged her head against that roll bar, whatever was there, and just split it right down through there. They had to rush her to the army medic was close by at the time. They rushed her in there. They had to put, I forget how many stitches in her forehead right there and sew that thing up. And a 7 or 8 year old kid, that's pretty traumatic. I remember Matt, he didn't have any specific accidents, but he was accident prone. And sometimes it wasn't his fault. I think I've told you this once before. The neighbor kid liked to pick on him for some reason. And they had gone out and gotten some crawfish, depending on what part of the country you're from. They went out and got some crawfish and had it in this bucket. And they told Matt, hey, Matt, come here. Look, come and see the crawfish. Of course, they're speaking in Koshrian. But come and see these crawfish. So Matt went over there and stuck his head over the top of the bucket to look down in there. There were no crawfish in there. It was kerosene. And the minute he stuck his head over it, they just put the bucket up like that and splashed it right in his face. Now, fortunately, at that time in Matt's life, he had these big oversized glasses. Those are the only ones we could get for him out there. So that helped. But we had to rush him in the house. We had to flush out his eyes. We had to take him down to the doctor, get everything worked out. When you're kids, you have those accidents. Well, those kids are now, Christina turned 40 last year. Matt turns 40 next year. And now it's not accidents. Christina has a problem with a bad back at 40 years of age. Matt's already experiencing problems with his feet. They're going to bother him probably. You know what happens as you get older? And I'm not saying 40 is that mark, but it sure was for me. I don't know. But as you get older, you want to find out your body begins to break down. And most of us here can testify to that. And you don't have to be 40. You could be Doug's age and break your wrist and do something like that. There's just no telling what you could do. But our bodies are made to deteriorate. They do not get. From birth up to 30 years old or so, they are increasing in strength and energy and stamina and things like that. But once you get over that 35 hump and start down the other side, it's not often pretty. And these vile bodies are designed to wear out. And what I want to tell you this evening is simply this. When your body seems to be falling apart, read Philippians 3:21. All right, there's the catch right there. When your body, when you wake up in the morning and you're not saying, do I hurt? You're just saying, what hurts? When your feet hit the floor and you're wondering, what is it that's going to bother me today? Usually I know before I roll out of bed, I've already felt it. But whatever it is, when you get there and your body seems to be falling apart, read Philippians 3:21 because it will give you hope. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. Oh, hallelujah. We're going to trade in this old body, this vile body, for a glorious body. I'm a couple months away from turning 65. I am being bombarded by Medicare and all the different supplements and plans. It doesn't matter what I do. If I log on my computer, ads are coming up for Medicare. They've already determined I'm in bad shape. They already know I need help. And so they're telling me and scaring me, if you don't get our plan, if you don't get this thing, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And they're using that concept. I texted my brother, who is only 61. I texted my brother last night and I said, Bob, don't turn 65. Just don't do it. Just refuse. And it's amazing how many people know that I'm going to be turning 65 because I'm getting mail and I'm getting the mail in the mail system and on all the ads and social media and everything. They all know it's coming. And they're all projecting disaster because we live in this vile body. But hey, one of these days, we're going to turn in this broken down, vile body for a glorious body that's fashioned like Jesus Christ. That's our hope. That's the promise. That's the blessing. Job said, naked came I into this world, and naked I'll return thither. We come into this world with no teeth and no hair, and we go out about the same way. But until we get to that point, it's just a slow downward trend. I'm not trying to be discouraging tonight. I'm really not. But I'm just saying this. When we recognize the frailty of the human body and the direction it's going to go. I mean, if we could all be blessed to be 95 and have the health that Ruth has, that would be a tremendous blessing. But, and don't you understand, she's 95. There's a little difference in her between now and when she was 35 and 45. And our bodies slow down. When you get discouraged, Travis and Charlene are just thinking about something else right now. They have no worries about this right now. When you get discouraged, and you do, and you will, remember Philippians 3:21. That one of these days He's going to take this old vile body and fashion it like unto His glorious body. His glorious body. Let me say this first of all tonight. I got three things I want to tell you about His glorious body. First of all, His glorious body was real. We're not talking about a Jedi thing or scientific thing. You know, we're talking about when Jesus Christ rose from the grave, He had a physical body that was glorious. He had a body. Now, I'm being careful in my wording here. This is Jesus Christ. We're talking about God manifest in the flesh. I know that. But He had a body after the resurrection that was better than the body He had before the resurrection. We'll talk about that under point number two in just a minute. But this body after His resurrection was a glorious physical body. There are some that teach, skeptics that claim, even religious teachers that tell us that Jesus after His resurrection was not a physical body, He was just a spirit that had been resurrected from the grave. His body was actually still in the tomb. Now, of course, the soldiers believe that, or told the story that the disciples came and stole it away. But the theory goes that Jesus died, but when He resurrected, it was not a physical body because it couldn't have been a physical body. Why not? Because it couldn't have been. That's the way reasoning philosophy is today. Well, it just couldn't have been. Why not? Because it couldn't have been. Well, it was. It was a physical body that's just as real as yours that could be touched. Thomas, stretch hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. Take your finger and put it in the holes in my hand. It could be done because it was a literal physical body. but it was a glorified body. Look, if you would, at Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to this body. One that will never have any more aches or pains. No diseases. No sicknesses. No deterioration. This is the body that Jesus was resurrected with. It was a real physical body. Luke chapter 24, look at verse number 38. We'll start in verse 36. Luke 24, 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. This is after his resurrection. And saith to them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted. Suppose that they had seen a spirit. They thought they were looking at a ghost, not a physical body. All right, that's the theory of the skeptics and the unbelievers. And the disciples originally thought the same thing. What's going on? We know he's dead. We know his body's been buried. There's his spirit, his ghost. And he said unto them, verse 38, why are you troubled and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. The glorified body is a real body. It's going to have a head, shoulders, arms, a torso, legs, feet, everything. We are made in the image of God. And that is the image of God. And when we get that glorified body, that body is going to be much like it is. Now, fortunately, I think, and I'm reading in between the lines here, that body's not going to have to worry about diet plans. Not going to have to get haircuts or shave. I like that body. I like that. It's going to be a perfect glorified body. He's going to change this one. And the Bible says that when Jesus saw them, they thought he was a spirit, but he said, handle me, touch me, see my hands, my feet, for a spirit hath not flesh and bone. He went so far there in Luke chapter 24, look if you would, he told them in verse number 41, he said, and while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, is it really him? Is it really his body? Is it really physical? He said unto them, to prove to them he was a physical body, have ye any meat? I like that. Notice, he didn't ask for vegetables. He didn't ask for a salad. He said, have ye any meat? The glorified body apparently is capable of digestion. I don't know how that works. But to prove to them it was a physical body, because they knew a spirit. I mean, if he were to eat in front of them and he was a ghost, they'd be watching that food go down, the whole system, all that. He wanted to show them that it was a physical resurrection. He had a glorified body, and it's a real body. Don't think that up in heaven were a bunch of spirits floating around. When we trade this vile body for that glorified body, we're going to be just as real as we are right now. Just as much to handle and touch and see and feel as we are right now. It's not some mystical, supernatural, invisible kind of thing. It is a literal body that you and I will dwell in there. Now, it's going to be different from this one. This mortal shall put on immortality. This corruptible shall put on incorruption. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, but it's going to be a real body, just like Jesus had. You know, when they say that Jesus' resurrection was a spiritual resurrection and not a physical resurrection, not only are they just point blank wrong, but they're also making Jesus a liar. Because he just said right there, touch and see, handle me. A spirit hath not flesh and bone. His very words declared, he himself declared, I am alive, I am here, I am real. And so to doubt that is to doubt God himself. You're going to trade this vile body, which is very real, for a glorious body, which will be just as real. His glorious body was real. Secondly, His glorious body was remarkable. See, He experienced a change just like we're going to. Think about that. The Lord Jesus Christ experienced a change. He's our first fruits. He changed a human body for a glorified body. Look back at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Think about Jesus' body when He was here on earth. Philippians chapter 2 tells us that He was made in the likeness of man. He took upon Himself the form of a servant. So Jesus Christ, the mystery of godliness, Jesus Christ was God in a human body. And when He came down in that human body, the Bible says He was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. That temptation simply means this: He could feel what you feel. He could experience what you experience. He could suffer what you and I physically in our body can suffer. He was not above that. He had a human body. It was real. But it's going to be remarkable. Look at Matthew chapter 4. You know what's going on here? The devil has led Jesus into the wilderness to tempt Him. And he says in verse number 6, Matthew chapter 4, verse number 6, the devil says to Jesus, "If," there's that damning word of the devil, "if thou be the Son of God." Well, there's no doubt that He is. You can take the "if" off of there. "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down." He took Him up to, verse number 5 says, He took Him up to the pinnacle of the temple, to the very highest point in Jerusalem, and said, "Cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee." So the challenge of the devil for Jesus was, throw yourself down off of that. You say, well, that's no problem. He was God. He wouldn't have suffered. He wouldn't have got hurt. Read the rest of the verse. "He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." If Jesus had been cast off that temple, He would have hurt, suffered the body, just like you or I would have. He was made in all points like as we. He had a physical body just like we have a physical body. You cannot understand that. I cannot understand that. As I'm watching today, that blood being taken out of my body and through that system and separating the platelets and the red blood cells and all that stuff that I was fascinated by. I'm reading the digital readout of what it was doing to me at the time and thinking how scary this really could be when, you know, they took the blood out, and then when they put it back in, they put it in with a saline solution. And they said, now you'll know the saline's coming in. I could tell by the tube looking up there. It wasn't red. It was mixed with white. She said, you'll feel the coolness of the water going in. And sure enough, I could feel it right there in the arm, that cool feeling. It was wonderful. That cool feeling coming into my arm at that time. Jesus Christ had the same kind of physical body and makeup as you and I do. There was nothing different about Him. He who was God had a heart, lungs, kidneys, a liver, digestive system, a musculoskeletal system. All right, all those big words. He had everything just, and He could feel pain just like we do. In fact, on Calvary's cross, He felt the ultimate pain. He suffered physically. He was not exempt from it. He was not in such a state or a body that He didn't feel anything. He had a body just like ours. The Bible tells us as we're reading through the Gospels that He got tired. He went to sleep in the back of the ship there as the disciples were on the Sea of Galilee. He got tired. The Bible says in John chapter 4, when He went to sit by the well where the woman of Samaria was, that Jesus was weary. He got tired. His body required sleep. It's just like ours. He asked the woman of Samaria, said, "Can you give me a drink? Give me a drink from the well." He thirsted. The Bible tells us back there in Matthew chapter 4 that after He fasted 40, Matthew 4 and verse 2, when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward a hungered. He got hungry. He had no place to lay his head. And so during his earthly ministry, he had a body that was exactly like ours. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. I like this verse, and you're probably familiar with it. 1 Timothy 3:16. There's a lot of great 3:16s in the Bible, just by coincidence. And you know I'm sarcastic when I say by coincidence. 1 Timothy 3:16, here's what it's talking. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. What is the mystery of godliness? Well, it's exactly what we're talking about right now. This: God was manifest in the flesh. When Jesus Christ was here on earth for those 33 and a half years, from His virgin birth until His resurrection and He got the glorious body, for that time He was God manifest, made known, God in a human body. He said to Thomas, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." But He was in a human body. I don't understand that. The Jehovah Witnesses, the Mormons, don't understand it, so they don't believe it. The unbelievers don't understand it, so they don't believe it. I don't understand it, but I believe it. Because the Word of God declares it to be so. He was God manifest in the flesh. That's the mystery of godliness. God in a human body. And so that human body suffered just as our human bodies suffer. He knew pain. He knew weariness. He knew hunger. He knew thirst. But when He rose again from the grave, that corruptible had put on incorruption. That mortal had put on immortality. His body had been changed. He left a physical body for a... He left a very real body for a remarkable body. Now that body's not like the other one. That body was different from the other bodies. Look at John chapter 20. We'll look at a couple places here. John chapter 20. I already mentioned to you about Him appearing before Thomas and telling Thomas to reach hither His hand and thrust it in His side, His finger, and thrust it into the holes. But look here in John chapter 20. Here's Jesus who during His earthly ministry in His human body, if He wanted to enter an abode, enter a house, He had to knock. I'm sure He was a welcome guest. I hope, well, He wasn't, but He was a welcome guest in many places, but not others. Jesus had to knock for entry in some places. But now He's got a remarkable body, and even if they don't want Him in, He's able to get in. Now, it's not that they don't want Him in here in John chapter 20, but there's, for other reasons, they are, John 20 and verse 19, the same day at the evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. The doors were shut. The room was closed up. You couldn't get in. In a physical body, you couldn't get in. I remember I was in Bible college and we had a guest preacher come. Dr. Cummins was out of town. And the guest preacher said, "This pulpit is not really here. You think it's here, you're looking and you think it's here, but it's not really here. It's not really solid. It's made up of molecules and atoms." I'm not sure how he described it, but it's made up of different things and it's not really here. It's not really solid. Okay. One of our college professors, who was known to be a little bit of a prankster, had fun with that the next morning in one of our classes, our evangelism class of all classes. He said, "See this wall behind me? It's not really there. You just think it's there. It's made up of molecules and things that are floating, but this wall's not really there." And he turned around and walked into it. Bam! He said, "Wait a minute, it's not really there." And he turned around and walked into it a second. Bam! If you were here when Dr. Sam Gipp was here, you'll understand that kind of humor. And that's the guy that did that. But for our physical bodies, there's limitations. It is here. I can't pass through it. That fellow said that night, and I'm not sure where he came from, but he said, if you could reach a certain mental state, you could get to the point where you could pass your hand straight through that solid pulpit, because it's not real. I'm sorry, no, that's not true. You are not going to reach a stage of nirvana or utopia in this life where you're going to put yourself through something physical like that. But one of these days, here's Jesus. The doors are shut. The room's enclosed. And then came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and said, peace be unto you. He walked right in through an enclosed room. Right through the walls. Right through a closed door. That's that remarkable body. He said, no, no, preacher, again, that's just a spirit. It's not real. Well, look at verse 21 or verse 20. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. He showed them his hands and his side. It wasn't a spirit. It was a physical body that could walk straight through solid objects. That's remarkable. That's the body you and I are going to receive in the future. That will be advantageous to us during the millennium. And we're not going to get into all that stuff back there. But it'll be advantageous to us at that time to have a body that can travel like that, that can go through solid things like that. Could you imagine having an army of people today that could be like that? You see it on Science Fiction Channel all the time, probably. But that's that remarkable, glorious body. It will be able to walk through solid materials. Look just a couple pages from John to Acts chapter 1. This glorious body is remarkable because it's not limited in a human realm. Not limited by obstacles. Not limited by gravity. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse number 9. And when he, being Jesus, and when he had spoken these things, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. You think that's easy? Try it. All right, right now. I know some of those athletes have a vertical jump that's pretty good, pretty high. None of them's got a vertical jump like that. The Olympics, they had pole vault, and they got up there 19, 20, 21 feet up in the air like that. That's child's play. When Jesus was caught up, his body just ascended. It just went up. He had total control, and he rose up in the air. That's the kind of body you and I get after we trade in this one. This one is bound by natural law. It's bound by science. To be stuck to this earth. You can't get your feet off it. Boy, those astronauts and those rocket ships and the force they have to put to get to break the force of gravity just to get to outer space. But then they end up back here. They end up coming back. Every balloon comes back down again. But one of these days, a body that's be able to transport anywhere you want it to go. That's a remarkable body. Again, that's what 1 Corinthians 15 tells us. This mortal shall put on immortality. This corruptible shall put on incorruption. I challenge you to look 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 and following. For we shall be changed. We're going to trade in this vile body for His glorious body. His glorious body was real. His glorious body was remarkable. Thirdly and lastly, and this is good, His physical body was recognizable. His glorious body was recognizable. Look back again at Luke chapter 24. There's some things that skeptics will say this. Well, I can't believe the Bible because of this. And they'll come up with 8-year-old Sunday school things. They'll come up with how'd they get all those animals in the ark? Where'd Cain get his wife? Come on, man, that's child's play. That's little stuff. If you want something that's unbelievable, I can show you a lot more than that stuff. There's stuff in that Bible I just say, what? How in the world? But I'm looking through eyes of faith and I believe it whether I understand it or not. All right, here's Jesus. He's rose again from the dead. In Luke chapter 24, keep your place there. I want to go there, but I want you to look at Mark first. Mark chapter 16. Keep your place in Luke 24. We're coming right back. Mark chapter 16, verse number 12. Now the New Bible versions, the NIV, ESV, ASV, all that stuff, tell us that the chapter ends in verse number 8. That verses 9 through 20 are not supposed to be there, but they're there, so we're going to look at verse 12. Here's after the resurrection of Christ in verse 12 of Mark 16, it says this. After that, He appeared, notice these words, in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. He appeared unto them in another form. What in the world was that? In another form. I have no idea. I kind of think it was probably human. He appeared in another form. Not an animal body. Not an alien body. But He appeared in another form. If He wanted to, He could not let them recognize Him. He could hide Himself from them in that body. But the Bible says He appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. It doesn't tell us a lot about that, verse 13. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Those two verses in Mark are all it says about Him meeting those two people in another form. Now look at Luke chapter 24. And this story begins in verse 13, the same one that Luke mentioned in two verses. Mark mentioned it in two verses. Luke starts in verse 13 and talks about it to the end of the chapter. In verse 13, and behold, two of them, that's the two Mark talked about, went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs, and they talked together of all things which had happened. It came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that He should not know Him. You know why? He appeared in another form. And they didn't know who He was. Now we don't have time to read the whole text from there down. Jump down to verse number 31. After a discourse, after a conversation, after some great Bible teaching, and you got to read the in-between verses, the Bible says in verse 31, and their eyes were opened and they knew Him. And He vanished out of their sight. Their eyes were opened and they knew Him. Again, He had a physical body. He proved it in verse number 30. And it came to pass as He sat at meat with them, He took bread and blessed it and brake it. And when He did, their eyes were open and they recognized Him. In His glorified body, they recognized it was Jesus Christ. I like that. A lot of folks ask the question, will we know each other in heaven? Will we recognize each other in heaven? Well, here's a man with a glorified body, and they knew exactly who he was. A lady went up to Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, if you know him, from the Tabernacle in London, and asked him that very question. The lady said, shall we know each other in heaven? And Spurgeon's answer was simply this. Do you think that we shall be bigger fools up there than we are down here? If we know each other down here, do you think we're going to dumb down? Get up there and not know each other? That's our American expression of his English formal conversation. If we know each other down here, do we think when we get up there, God's going to put blinders and we're not going to know each other? They knew Jesus in His glorified body. They recognized Him when they saw Him. John chapter 20 again. John chapter 20. Verse number 14. This is the story of Mary at the tomb. The angel say to her in verse 13 of John 20, Why weepest thou? She saith to them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. When she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Now the question arises, why didn't she know? Well, maybe through the tears. She wasn't focusing. Maybe because he was standing behind her. She saw out of the peripheral vision, she saw someone there, but not understanding it was Jesus. Verse 15, Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him thence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. She's having a conversation with a physical body, by the way. A very real body. A very remarkable body. And verse 19, Jesus saith unto her, Mary, she turned herself. Now she's looking at him. And saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. When she turned and she saw him, she recognized him. That glorified body that we're going to trade in this vile body for, I don't know how it works. It'll probably be a 33-year-old image of me. Man, I like that thought. Dark hair. No glass, no stinking glasses. No feet problems, ankle problems, knee problems. And we'll be able to recognize one another. Now, you're probably looking and say, Pastor, I don't think I'd recognize you as a 33-year-old, so I'm not sure that'll work. Well, you have divine knowledge, too, so that'll help there a little bit also. And some of you that are younger than 33, I guess you age. I don't know how that's going to work out. Again, I don't know. We don't know everything about how that works. We just know this. We will be recognizable in heaven. Because the glorified body, it's real. That glorified body, it's remarkable. And that glorified body, it's recognizable. In chapter 20, in verse number 28, one last verse we'll look at. And Thomas answered, when Jesus said to him, Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. He recognized him. In his glorified body, he recognized him. So folks, the next time you're feeling broken down in your body, read Philippians 3:21 and take heart. For the temptations and the trials of this season are just temporary. And one of these days, we're going to trade in this old, vile body for a glorious body fashioned like unto Christ. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.